Hi, I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off. Give me a call, won't you? Hello, it is wonderful to be with you again on another North American Sunday night and bright and early on a Monday UTC morning. I am delighted that you're here. I'm Marlena, and if you're listening to this program at any time other than 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday night, 6 to 8 Pacific, or Monday morning, bright and early, 1 to 3 UTC, you're listening to a replay. And so we would encourage you to sit back and enjoy. If, however, you are listening live, let me give the telephone number. It is 866-666-7926. With me this week, I have the delight of presenting. Whoa, I think we just lost. We need Gary, the board guy, to call the guest again. The guest has become disconnected. So if Gary, the board guy, would kindly do that, we would be grateful. Our guest this week will be, once we get him back upon the line, now we're going to have all kinds of interference here. Our guest will be Chris Gray, president of the American Council of the Blind. And I think I hear Gary, the board guy, feverishly. Is he up? Let's see. Oh, he's not there yet, but Gary the board guy says that he will make the call. Ain't technology grand. As you know, Chris Gray will be running for the term of president, again, his final term with the American Council of the Blind, and so he actually requested that he have some time on the air to respond to your questions. And we think Gary the board guy is dialing the phone. So sadly, Gary the board guy and I don't have an intercom system that we share between rooms here. But I'm sure he will yell to me and then I will bring Chris Gray in. But Chris approached me to request the opportunity to be on the air. And Gary, the board guy, informs me that Chris is on, and I think we've picked him up, and then Gary will hang up. And, you know, we're a real high-tech studio here, you know. One person makes the call and then hangs up, then we bring the guest in. So without any further electronic ado, let me bring Chris Gray. Welcome to Marlena.
Well, thank you, Marlena. Nice to be here.
We finally made it.
Yes.
I was saying to the listeners as we were trying to bring you back that you are running for office again, and this is your final term. Is that correct, as president?
It would be my third and final 2-year term.
Okay. Well, let me give the telephone number, and we will open the lines in just a bit. But I'd like to give Chris an opportunity to speak to some issues that I certainly have to raise, and I know our listeners will as well. The number to call is 866-666-7926. Chris, I'm going to pull from some of my questions from the candidates forum page, the candidates page, and some questions that I've developed and some that have been given to me as well.
Okay.
And I'd like to start off by asking you to tell me, first of all, tell us a bit about you. And then secondly, what makes you feel that you are uniquely qualified to be sort of the top dog, the president of the American Council of the Blind?
Okay. Well, just roughly biographically, I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington, got a bachelor's at Washington State University and a master's at the University of Washington in 1979 in administration. Since then, I've worked for the federal government, for Telesensory Systems, IBM, Oracle, and I now work for Symantec Corporation. So I've tended to follow a computer-oriented career, and my specific job at Symantec is as a senior technical writer. I tell people I write all these computer manuals that nobody ever reads. But that isn't always true. Some people do read part of them. And my advocation throughout my life, and there's more than one, but a major one, significant one for me, has been the American Council of the Blind. I've been active in state affiliates. I was president of the Washington Council of the Blind, the Old Dominion Council of the Blind. I was another affiliate I was very active in Northern Virginia. I have also been president of special interest affiliates like the Braille Revival League and the organization we know today as BITS. When I was president, it was called VidPi some years ago. I've held a number of other positions in ACB. I represented ACB for 10 years on the Braille Authority of North America, and I also served as chairman of the ACB Board of Publications for 5 years and as a member for 3 additional years. So I do have a grounding in ACB. I know a great deal about the history of ACB, have written about that, and was involved extensively in the writing of the ACB history that was done by Marjorie and Jim McGivern. I would say, as far as specific qualifications and reasons, the main reason that I ran for the presidency and continue to seek the presidency for one final term is that I believe I have a vision for what ACB needs to do to grow as an organization, to improve as an organization, and I believe it's a vision that is in keeping with the principles of the organization, the democratic principles of the organization, and the principle of an organization that is run by the membership. So that would be the primary reason I would hope people would consider my candidacy and vote for me. And the reason I would hope that people would not vote for me is simply because I'm an incumbent. That's not a very good reason
right,
to run for an
office. Right, exactly. And I do have some questions about your vision for the organization, so we will get back to that.
Okay.
But let me ask you, what do you think is the legacy that you will leave should you win this final term, and maybe even if you don't? What legacy have you left or will you leave for the organization and for future leaders?
Well, of course, I certainly hope to win, and so it would be hard to know exactly what legacy I will leave in 2 years. But it has to do, first of all, with leaving an organization that is in a sound financial position. For many years before 2001, we talked and hoped very much to be able to diversify the income stream for ACB. And while we talked about it a great deal, we couldn't easily find our way toward making that happen. We kept relying on our thrift store business, which was a good business. And by 2001 and 2002, it became obvious that the contractions in the business and changes in our overall economic climate made it such that the business of thrift stores was not adequate alone to support the needs of ACB. And in the last 4 years, we have diversified our income stream significantly. We're continuing to do that, and we're increasing, in doing so, the funding of ACB to get back to the levels we were at with just the one thrift store operation supporting us in the 1997-1998 time frame. I think that recovery is going to continue, and I think that the diversification of fundraising is going to continue as well. That alone would make me happy. I think ACB has renewed a focus on membership development and bringing new members into ACB. And should the next president elect to do so, they will be able to leverage that growth, not only to make it continue and take advantage of a forward momentum, but to use the membership in ways that help the organization overall. Last year, we saw an affiliate return to ACB that hadn't been with us for a long time in West Virginia. We've had renewed interest, and we're continuing to work on bringing back the affiliate in Puerto Rico. This year, we will add a special interest affiliate at the convention, the ACB Diabetics in Action. And so we're not only recovering ground that we lost in previous years, but we're digging new ground, cultivating new ground as well. And those are two things that come to my mind immediately. I think other things I have worked very hard on are getting ACB into a stronger position to have an effect in the area of technology, research, and development. And I hope that we can continue that and help it to grow. And ACB has continued but redoubled its efforts to work with other organizations. And it's no accident that we were co-sponsors of the rally in Washington, D.C. last month to help save rehabilitation. So those areas have been strengthened, although they're long-standing hallmarks of the organization.
I've got I do want to sort of get back to oh gosh, now we're having thunderstorms.
Oh,
this is the interview that was. We don't have that much thunder in Seattle, Chris, but we've been getting it almost daily.
Okay.
Yeah, in the last week. I do want to get back and talk about that rally in
okay.
just a bit, but
sure.
Let me also say that we've opened the lines. The telephone number is 866-666-7926. Last year, Chris, at the convention, none of us will ever forget, and it certainly isn't any secret, that there was a fair bit of controversy regarding whether you should stay or you should go, and the membership spoke, and you are, alas, still our president. What do you think is going to happen this year? Do you know if you have anyone running against you? And secondly, are you aware of any like controversy?
If anyone else is seeking the office of the presidency, I haven't heard about it yet. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't come forward at the convention, either at nominations or even after nominations. And I always welcome a good race, and if they do, I think that would be fine. But I don't know of anybody right now who has indicated even a desire to run for the presidency, much less the intention to run. I don't know of any major controversial items such as last year, and if they exist, my guess is that they will be brought forward during the convention. But quite honestly, I don't expect that to happen. Things seem to be much calmer this year. We seem to have been able to recreate a consensus about how to run the organization. And so I'm feeling like things are in pretty good shape in that regard.
You talked about the rally just a few minutes ago, and I've got a question, and then I've got a comment on which I would like you to speak. Let me do the comment first.
Okay.
And it actually came up on this program just last week. A couple of our callers felt that while ACB was certainly a presence at that rally, and that Melanie Brunson gave a whopper of a speech, that we weren't portrayed, we weren't in the limelight, we weren't seen perhaps generally as being, having the same strength as the National Federation of the Blind. And I wonder what you think about that.
Well, as you may know, I wasn't able to attend the rally, although I was sorry about that. A rally like that is one of the things that excites me most about ACB. Legislation is key in my mind for importance, and I would have given anything to be at that rally. But
yeah, me too.
My employer had a few other ideas. We were near the end of a big release, and I simply could not be away from the office for that much time during the week. So I wasn't there, and I can't comment firsthand, but I've heard similar comments, and I wouldn't doubt that there's a lot of truth to them. It's no secret that the rally was created and spearheaded by the National Federation of the Blind, and in a business sense and an organizational sense, NFB has much more of a stake in the game with regard to rehabilitation than does ACB. Our membership is, of course, going to want to and is involved right now in taking rehabilitation services. But we're not involved in the way that NFB is in actually creating, sponsoring, and needing funding to remain in the business of providing rehabilitation service. So their need is not only about advocacy, it's about money as well. It's no surprise then that they're going to be spearheading an effort like this and deeply involved. And NFB is not known for including others in its activities if it doesn't have to. The gravity of the situation we face in rehabilitation is such that they felt they had to. And if we didn't think the problem was serious, that ought to be proof to us of the degree of the seriousness of the threat to rehabilitation. I think that as consumers, it was the right thing to do to participate. We needed to be involved, and the fact that we were given a good spot and involvement by the NFB is certainly significant. I wish it might have been more, and perhaps it will be more in the future. But the bottom line for me was that involvement was so important that we would do it, knowing going in that we might not get the recognition that we really deserved.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The telephone number is 866-666-7926. On this same topic, what are ACB's responsibilities to its membership in terms of working with a government whose attitude is changing towards Social Security services, rehabilitation services, et cetera, to people with disabilities?
Well, let me approach this a little differently than I did in my candidate's answer, but going to the same place at the end. One of the biggest difficulties I think that we have is that our membership is all over the map in terms of their political beliefs and allegiances outside of ACB. We have very conservative members and very liberal members, and I wouldn't doubt that a lot of ACB members voted for George Bush last fall.
Oh, I was drinking my coffee when you said that.
Well, and the reason I say that is because it's very important, in my view, that we not engage within the organization in the waging of partisan politics. If we do, we simply alienate a portion of, and maybe a fairly significant portion,
sure,
of ACB members. Of course, we would run afoul, perhaps, of our 501c3, but that, to me, is an incidental concern. The real concern here is to keep our members on the same page with regard to issues and affairs of blind people. So I say that to underscore one of my points, that whatever we do needs to be nonpartisan, first of all. What I think we can do first and foremost that's beneficial and helpful to our members is provide information to them about what is being proposed, what legislation is on the table, and the effects of different legislation and ideas within legislation should they pass. We've got to arm the membership with information to understand what's going on. As a corollary to that, we need to do whatever we can to help the membership be prepared to go to their congressional delegations, either on the phone or in person, and to be able to write letters that have meaning to Congress. So we give people information. When we can, we like to give some sample wording people might use or show them sample letters that are being distributed by coalitions and organizations of disability groups out of Washington, D.C. After doing that, then we want to encourage members to be proactive, to be involved. And you know, the scary thing for an organization like ACB, in a way, is that at the end of the day, even if we do all these things right and do them with just stunning panache and with the best words and the greatest stimulation, it really is up to the membership, the individual members of ACB, to get out there and contact their legislatures, contact the Congress, and try and make things happen. And we can support that. We must support that in every way that we can. In the end, though, we've got to help the membership understand that without their constant awareness and activity, all the things we do nationally will be for naught.
It is about 25 minutes past the hour, and if you are listening at any time other than Sunday night in North America, 9 to 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific, or Monday morning, 1 to 3 Universal, you've got a replay of the Marlena program, where our guest is Chris Gray, President of the American Council of the Blind. And so if you are listening at any other time, put your feet up and enjoy. But if you are listening live, the telephone number to call, and we welcome your call, is 866-666-7926. And I want to stress again that President Gray, or Chris, it's really hard for me to call you President Gray. Chris is much better. I've known you too long. Since Chris contacted, I really want you to know that Chris contacted me directly, that I didn't go chasing him down. So hopefully you listeners will call in with your questions to Chris. I want to go back to an issue that actually concerns me, would just kind of like to hear your comments about it. It's regarding our presence in the World Blind Union. It was wonderful that we were able to send ACB Radio there to South Africa this year, but in so doing, it became very clear that Dr. Maurer was on the stage, and Tuck Tinsley, and so many key figures in the blindness movement, but we weren't there. Are we moving back toward having a person, a representative, a presence in that World Blind Union process?
I very much hope that we are. I believe that we are. And I've been working hard to try and make that happen. It used to be that ACB was very well known and respected in world affairs. We had a number of ACBers over the years who were deeply involved. You know, we had a transitional figure in the George Card.
Yeah.
Began that work in the NFB and carried it into ACB. And for many years, ACB was virtually the sole player in international affairs. It seems like in the past several years, we haven't heard much about or had a lot of communication about ACB's activities and role. And it's in part for that reason that I decided to try and get more directly, personally, actively involved. I think that there is a perception within the world community that if a president of an organization doesn't give some personal time and involvement, that maybe the organization is not that committed to or interested in world affairs. I have chosen to become directly and personally involved in WBU. I've been attending I attended our regional meeting in Toronto earlier this year and was actually able to help take a stand on some issues that I think will be of benefit to our region. In particular, our region is going to be focusing a lot more of their activity in the Caribbean. And I think this is good. The Caribbean is where the need really exists. I forget the exact figure off the top of my head, but I was shocked to hear from the Caribbean Council of the Blind that the average income for a blind person in the Caribbean is something on the order of $900 a year.
God, that's incredible.
We complain about $900 a month
yeah,
in California
yeah,
for
yeah,
SFI.
Yeah.
But
wow.
They don't even have, I mean, if NLS were to send down a couple of boatloads of cassette books and cassette players, it would be meaningless because they don't have the infrastructure to store them. We're talking about a group of people who live many more without electricity than have it. They wouldn't be able to use something as elementary as talking book services, and they're right here in our North American region. Think of the difficulties faced throughout the Third World. Well, in talking about helping the Caribbean, I was able to talk with people and emphasize and highlight not only the needs of the English-speaking countries, but the Spanish-speaking countries in the Caribbean, pointing out to places like Puerto Rico, for example. Now, they're under the umbrella of the U.S., but they're as much a Caribbean country as anything else. And if we're going to devote a lot of effort down there to be helping that region, then Puerto Rico and all the other Spanish-speaking islands, of which there are several down there, need our help as well. So I was happy about that, and it made me realize how important it could be to be there. The WBU coverage of ACB Radio was fantastic. I got to listen to a lot of the meeting because of it. And I might point out also, to help WBU get to know ACB better, we were having the new president, William Rowland, at the convention, and he will be the banquet speaker on Friday evening, addressing ACB and helping us get back up to speed on what's going on, not only in the U.S., but around the world. So we are making progress, and I certainly do have a strong commitment to work harder in that area and get ACB more visibility. You know, it's not that we haven't done things, Marlena. Jill Tobin has been very active on the Women's Committee, and there have been many other activities. In part, what's happened is that activity has not been communicated as information to the membership. So we'll work on that, and I certainly am committed to keep working on that.
Well, that's great. I think it's valuable. And, you know, I go back in ACB just about as long as you do, as many years as you do. And I can, just so remember working with Durward McDaniel in the national office and how the WBU, I mean, that was a critical activity in which we were involved, and so I'm delighted to.
I bet you remember when Alma Murphy and Billy Elder reported to us about the first international women's conference.
I do. I do indeed.
Very meaningful.
I do indeed, and I remember sitting there thinking, "Gal, I would really love to represent ACB at something like that."
Yeah.
When
you
know, way, way, way back when. I ever thought I could do anything. and now I know I can't.
Well, keep
no.
your desire on my mind.
sorry, banging things around here. I've got so many scraps and bits of paper of things that I wanted to bring up and talk to you about. I know you've got a time crunch, but again, the number 866-666-7926. And Chris, usually when people don't call, it's because I hear afterwards, well, you guys did all the questions. So
okay.
We just did all the listening. I've raised a couple of points about ACB which are of concern to me or other people, and now I want to sort of turn around and raise a point about which I think ACB deserves huge kudos, and that is our online presence. We have a tremendous online presence. We're part of it right now with the radio. We have the forum is online. The registration is online. The website is great. We have the store. We have many of our affiliates having websites now linking hither, thither, and yon. My question is, what is ACB or the Board of Publications doing to sustain that presence? It costs money. What are we doing to ensure that we don't slide away from what we've got?
Well, now, there's a great question.
Thank you. I thought so, too.
you're right. Just because we're successful today doesn't mean we can rest on our laurels and not do anything about it. ACB has made that mistake sometimes. And it's understandable because there are so many things to do that you tend to ignore your programs that are going well. And in doing that, they go well for a while, but when they begin to disintegrate, bad things can happen very fast. I'm happy to tell you that several things are going on with regard to our internet presence that I think are positive. In a major grant that we have submitted, there is funding to purchase additional computer power. Right now, the ACB server is just one machine, and it needs to have mirroring. It needs to have other kinds of support that a second machine could provide. So we've been throwing out the idea in grant requests, and I'm sure that one of them will come through fairly soon. So you'll see a lot of increased capacity, and that's going to help the overall presence that we have on the internet. We're also doing a lot of thinking and planning for the future. And I talked earlier about my vision for ACB, so let me share with you a specific piece that relates to the online area. We talk a lot about the need for people to contact Congress, but we don't provide any direct and specific mechanisms for them to do that. And we have people right now who are investigating the use of a legislative database through ACB.org, or if we need to, the creation of a legislative database, and how to put together a system that would, and I'll give you a snapshot of it, you know, many months or years down the road, because it all takes development time and it won't start out this good. But imagine we had an issue like rehabilitation and we knew some things that needed to be said, and we could, let you get on to acb.org or have a friend of yours get with you on the phone and get on acb.org, and you would choose your state, and we would know all the congresspeople or the committee congresspeople in your state, and we could help you create a form, not really a form letter, but a letter that had certain sentences in it that you would add your material to, and within 10 minutes, without you having to deal with the envelope and the typing or the printing and the stamping and all that sort of thing, your letter would be on its way either in the mail or through a fax to your key committee people in Congress, as well as other people that we all believe would be key for contacting in that particular instance. We need to begin to leverage our internet power to do that kind of work. And as I say, work is underway, investigation is underway that could lead to that kind of activity. So I agree with you. Our internet presence is strong, but we need to work on it, and we really are working to try and make it even more than it is today.
So at this point, we're hoping that the one grant will come through, but is there a plan beyond that at this point, other than to increase the services by implementing something like what you've mentioned? But in terms of sustainability, is there something else down the road other than the grant that we're looking at?
Well, I think we know, for example, that we have to do something to increase the staffing level. We run Dave Williams ragged, and people like you work as volunteers, dedicated volunteers, and there's going to come a time when we have got to work on increasing staff. We've been saved a bit by Chrissy coming along and helping us, but that won't last, you know, forever either. I think we have to look at staff needs. We have to look at additional ways, new ways, different ways of handling programming as well to increase the programming on mainstream. We have a crying need to reach out to non-English speaking people, particularly Spanish speaking, but many other ethnicities too. I mean, it's amazing how much material NLS distributes in foreign languages, and not just Spanish. German is another major one, and many of the Asian populations, Chinese and Vietnamese, come immediately to mind as major populations. We need to get to work in those areas as well, and we haven't been able to do so yet, but those are things that we ought to be working on as well.
And just to sort of put an amen on that, as the ACB Radio Outreach Coordinator, I just want to remind people how easy it can be to do a broadcast with the facilities at our place, www.ourplace.acbradio.org. You can actually go up there. In fact, I did so today for a promotion that we're going to have in a couple of weeks. But you can actually go up there and meet up with people in the audio chat room and record the chat. And that's all you need to do. And then we'll tell you how to get it to us. And we've got some folks working on a parenting program. And so it's real easy if folks are interested, and we are especially eager for broadcasters in languages other than English to do some mainstream work. So I'll stop that soapbox and get back to Chris.
Excellent. Thank you.
You are welcome. Communication. You've mentioned communication several times, and how important it is. You mentioned that Jill Tobin, for instance, has been doing a great deal on the international women's front, but we may not know about that. What do you see as your role in implementing a stronger communication system so that we really get the word out? But before you answer that, let's bring a caller in. How about that?
Okay.
Hello there. You're with Marlena and Chris. Who's this?
Carl Jarvis.
Hello, Carl Jarvis.
Good evening, Carl.
Hello.
Go.
Turn you down.
And we need to turn you up. You are really low.
Oh, well, I'm on an old phone out here on the Olympic Peninsula.
Yeah, well, honey, it's tin cans and a string,
well,
but give it a shot.
It's the rust on the cans and the moss on the string that get it down. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How about yourself?
Good, good. I just wanted to piggyback on some of the comments you were making because, to me, some of the real excitement and some of the real potential for organizing come through the Internet. And as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, talk about expanding the service that we provide on the Internet into things such as training, education, just a helpline where people not only getting the legislative kinds of things, but... I'm real active in the aging and blindness now that I'm beginning to approach that group. You know, I'm not old yet, but
you'll never be old, Carl.
But just the idea of being able to connect with a whole array of services, information, connect with other people. I mean, the sky is the limit on what we can do with the Internet.
Well, you're right about that. It really is true. I'm kind of glad you brought it up because I didn't think to mention, but I ought to mention something that people may not be aware of. It's amazing how many questions ACB gets from non-members and individuals who are not blind, but they find us on Internet searches, and they want to know how can we help them with a situation in their family, with a friend, with a spouse, that's having a visual problem, or maybe even, you know, a son or a daughter. And ACB is doing a good bit of outreach here, but we could do much, much more if we had more online resource and things that would specifically speak to their need at that time. We do a little bit now. We can refer them to affiliates. We can, you know, they do find information that's useful. They enjoy getting the forum. Many of them join as members at large, but I agree, Carl. There's more we could do to really reach out to that group. And,
all we
and
need is manpower and money, right?
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That,
well, it's good hearing your voice, Chris.
You too. Thank you.
And as always, Marlena.
Hey, Carl. It's great that you called my show. I'm all excited.
Talk to you later.
All right. Have
Bye
a good later. Night, Carl.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Back to the question that I was raising, and if we get another call, when we get another call, we'll just ask that person to stand by. While you talk to me about your thought on how do you, as the leader of ACB, ensure that the communications, literally to the rank and file, although I'm not always sure I like that term, are really strong and current and appropriate and timely? What's your vision about that?
Well, of course, I have no particular compunction about being involved in communications issues. I think that some people have found it of concern that I would be as involved as I have been in communications within the organization. And yet, where I come from, Marlena, is that sitting in the seat of president, one tends to hear things and find things out that others have no way of knowing. People probably ought to tell more than just presidents certain things, but they don't. And I think that presidents have a broader perspective because we're involved in more things. Now, one thing that's important to do is get as many other people involved as we can so you can share that perspective around. But part of getting involved is having the information of what's going on so that you know there's something to be involved in. And I don't hesitate to promote ideas as articles in the Braille Forum, to try and encourage people to write articles about timely things they're involved in. If somebody on a committee calls me up and says, such and such is going on, and I'm really interested in this or that, often the right answer to them is, you've got to write that up for the Braille Forum. People need to hear about what's going on. And I think sometimes we haven't been fostering enough of that sort of communication in the past in ACB. So the forum is certainly one mechanism. It's our best mechanism, though the forum has decreased somewhat in size because of our financial constraints. So we're limited to some extent there. We have occasionally been sending CDs of programs like this to affiliate presidents to make sure they hear what's going on and get some perspective in that way. Information really is key. We hear that all the time, but it's no less true just because we hear it a lot. And we've talked about and haven't been able yet to deliver on certain ideas that could increase communication. Now, for example, we've talked a lot about distributing certain ACB radio programs to members who don't have computer connectivity. And that's something we could do a lot more of, putting programs on tapes or on compact discs and distributing them. Of course, it takes the warm body to make it happen. Ideas are great, but ideas don't happen all by themselves. There are a lot of things that we can do to increase the information people get. So I hope that addresses your point.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to, you have to excuse me, I just swallowed coffee that went down the wrong pipe, speaking of communication. I guess I really wanted to hear you, and you did, speak to us about your thoughts of ways in which communication can be improved and kind of hearing from you a commitment to see that at least some of those are implemented.
Well, I very much believe in getting more communication going. You know, we've been doing so much with Meeting Place to help people communicate and hold meetings, and that's something I was able to initiate during my presidency. We do the monthly calls, the Let's Talk calls, and we need to publicize those better. Those have really fallen off in terms of attendance, but that's because we haven't been publicizing them enough in the forum and other places.
So maybe we should do a public service announcement on ACB Radio.
Well, that would be a wonderful idea.
There you go. I think we have a caller.
Okay.
Whoops, no, we don't have a caller. I have too many phone lines in this house.
You got a ringer.
I know. We got a ringer, but it's not a caller, so... and hopefully Gary the board guy will pick up that phone so it will stop ringing in my ear. Oh, there, it's gone away. Let's see, where the heck was I? Can you tell me what you think ACB will look like in 10 years?
No. That's why we're having a roadmap on it this summer. Well, I can give it a shot. But it's a good opportunity for me to promote that roadmap because, you know, I talked a little bit last year. I don't recall if it was to the membership or to the board. It seems to me trying to take the turmoil of last year in a positive vein, and we need to do that. We need to look at the good that can come out of anything, regardless of how stressful it might have been, regardless of how people may have been feeling at that moment. There's got to be some positive elements and some things that we can positively do to reach out and stop those kinds of situations from happening. So I put my mind to that at some length, and I wondered how it could be that we got to the point we were at last year of people feeling controversy and feeling difficulty, one of the things that, that came up most in my mind was that it had been a long time since ACB had engaged in an activity to build consensus, to create an ideal we all had read and were working toward. Our last long-range plan was basically finished in preparation by the end of 1994. Here we were in 2004, clearly trying to find our way back towards some consensus. And when you think about it, given that we hadn't talked about it for 10 years, that wasn't too surprising. We talked a lot at the board meeting in January about the value of engaging in an effort of creating a new long-range plan for ACB. It was determined we didn't really have the money to move forward instantly with that task, and we agreed to set about writing some grants and getting at least some of the funding through grant funding, which there's quite a bit of, for these kinds of activities. Well, that's great, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized it doesn't help us in early 2005, or probably in 2005 at all. Excuse me. So with that thought in mind, I decided that one of the roadmaps this year ought to be to get members together and just let's talk for an hour and a half or 2 hours and brainstorm about where we want ACB to be in 10 years. So with that as background, some of the things I want, I would like to see ACB able to spend more of its funding, whatever that funding might be in 10 years, on core services directly to members, and spend less of its overall percentage of resources on administration, administrative activities. We do a pretty good job now, but we could do better, and we need to look at ways of reducing our administrative overhead. And by that, I mean things like rent, taxes, the kinds of things that are such fixed expenses that they really just take a lot of your money.
Mm-hmm.
So can we reduce those in various ways? Clearly the answer is yes, but we've got to focus on really doing that and making it happen. So more money for core services to members and more of the percentage of the money we have for those core services is the real key. I would like to see ACB in a better position to reach out to people. You know, I've talked for years, and I'm never going to stop talking about my idea of a second magazine within the organization, a magazine to showcase who and what blind people are, who and what we are in ACB. It would serve two purposes. One, it would be a beautiful long-term fundraising vehicle for the organization. And second, it would allow us to reach out into the community and tell people what they can do to deal with their blindness or the blindness of others in a positive way. And we've been constrained financially for moving ahead with that, but it's my hope that, heavens, within 10 years, we ought to have been able to get that program off the ground and reach out to many, many populations and people that we can't even come close to today.
That would be a tremendous vehicle to do that. And, you know, it could even be something you start out online, you know, especially with RSS feeds and so forth as they are now. It may start out online and end up on paper.
Well, it could be. It could be. Things are moving away from paper, and we ought to think in those terms, too.
Yeah. Chris, among our listeners, and certainly I'm always just so happily aware of this through the calls that I receive kind of on an ongoing basis, but also the emails that I get. And I think, that what I'm about to say is one of the key things that motivates me to do this program. Because among our listeners here tonight, we have many teenagers. I have kids write to me 11 years old. I mean, you know.
Wow.
And some of them are here consistently, and they will call in and, you know, and we'll chat about this or that or the next thing. And, you know, somehow they don't mind listening to this old blind lady go on and on every week, and they keep coming back. So what would you say, as the president of the American Council of the Blind and someone who is a key figure in sort of the world blindness movement, what kind of message would you give to these kids?
Well, I'd probably tell them first that amazed as they might be to hear it, I never even knew there were organizations of the blind until I was 17 years old. Had no clue. I probably wouldn't have known then except for Sue Amater and Carl Jarvis, who began exposing me to ideas about consumerism and what people could do coming together, working together to improve their self-image and work toward a common goal of bettering things for blind people. Look at me today. And, you know, at 17 or 18, I would never, never have guessed that I would become involved at the level that I am today. Now, it's important to recognize that to be effective and to make a huge contribution doesn't mean you have to be involved in the way that I'm involved. There's so many ways to contribute to help yourself, to help other blind people. And if that kind of thing is exciting, then ACB certainly has something to offer. You know, ACB doesn't use the radio and our resources much to promote or to push people into membership. And as long as I'm president, Marlena, we never will. I think that we have to find a line between missing opportunities to gain members and strong-arming people and making them feel like they have to join to participate. I don't ever want to cross that line, and I don't think we have so far. I certainly hope not. On the other hand, I would use this moment, since you asked the question, to say to young people who are listening or who may hear this at some point, we need your contributions. And you give them by participating in the radio so much and so well. And if you feel inclined to be more involved, I certainly hope that you'll consider it over the years. There are a lot of people, very caring people in ACB, who will give you assistance, guidance, and who need your assistance and guidance as well. It's very important. And it's incredibly rewarding to do. If I wasn't rewarded in this job of president of ACB, trust me, I wouldn't do it. But the rewards of working with and giving your advice and counsel and assisting others is something that just can't be beat. It's irreplaceable.
Yeah, I have the joy of having brought my dear younger friend Nikki Kobe into ACB. She's now on the board of NABS.
Oh, wonderful.
I've known her since she was 8. And on Tuesday, Gary and I fly to Minneapolis to see her graduate from high school.
Wow.
And, you know, it really is a joy to watch a young person kind of pick up the mantle and go, wow, this really does make sense. So without sort of beating the membership drum too hard, if any of you out there want to talk with me directly about this further, I would be delighted to do that.
And do it knowing that ACB does not pressure people to join.
Right.
We invite you, we will urge you, and we would love you to join, but we will never pressure you
And we will love you even if you don't join.
You better believe it.
Yeah, because, you know, we're either going to hang together or we're going to hang alone. And so I think hanging together is the best way to succeed with all of this.
Way to go.
I know you've got something to do, so I'm going to let you go. But I want to, first of all, ask you one question and then give you the opportunity to perhaps address anything that I haven't asked you, because I have bacoodles more things I could ask you.
Okay.
So my final question to you would be, why do you want to do this again? Where is your sanity?
Well, you're not the first to ask me that question. Marvelina has wondered that considerably this past several months. Why do I want to do it again? Well, there is always, I have to wear my hat for a moment as a political person, and I wouldn't be here if I wasn't at least political to some degree. So it pains me to admit it. The fact that three terms are available is in and of itself a bit of a challenge. It's a bit of a request almost. You became president for one term and then two. And why not do your third term? There's also, as a part of that, a sense of obligation. There's only so much anyone can do in a day or a month or a year or a term of office. And there are so many things that I have been able to get started and move forward so much more slowly than I had imagined it would need to be, but situations are what they are. I just would love one more term to make some of those things a little bit more alive, a little bit more present for the organization, and hopefully able to take root to an extent that they will move on and continue to grow when I leave the presidency. And certain things that I've been trying to work on haven't gotten to that stage yet. I would like to enjoy being president of an organization that is is growing and moving forward. And finally, we are doing those things. It's taken a long time to turn the momentum around, and it hasn't happened without some controversy. I have enjoyed the lessening of controversy in the last year, I have to tell you. And it's made it so much more possible to do positive work for blind people. And it would be wonderful to continue that for one final term.
Is there anything which I've not asked you about which you'd like to speak?
No, I think we've really hit the high points. I'm always open to address any questions or concerns, but no, I'm very pleased with your questions and how much ground we've managed to cover in an hour.
If people want to reach you, Chris, how do they do that?
Well, they can always write me at cgray@acb.org. There's always a problem of spam, and I know that I probably have been guilty more than once of deleting a message from an unknown person thinking that it was spam, but that's one good way. Another way is to call me. You can always call and either get me or leave me a message, and the best number to do that is area code 415-577-5601.
Well, Chris, I want to say thank you so much for coming on, and It's been great.
And, well, thanks, Marlena, and thank you for all you do for the radio.
Well, thank you, and good luck at your election.
Las Vegas is going to be a wonderful, wonderful convention. Oh, and one final thing. It will be, we know now, it will be the largest convention ACB has ever held.
Woohoo! All right.
Isn't that great?
That's wonderful.
You bet.
Thanks, Chris.
You bet. You too.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
There is a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. I'm lazy, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go to warm Haiti? Why can't we live in bliss? Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a beast train. Oh, beast train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. This peace train, oh, holy rolling.
Everyone jump upon the peace train.
Cat Stevens and Peace Train. And I always kind of think about being involved in ACB is a bit like getting on that peace train. Yeah. Come on, join the peace train. I'm Marlena. I'll be with you for, let me look. I don't even know what time it is. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, almost another 55 minutes. We're going to go to open forum. So if you don't call, you get to listen to me talk for an hour, and I don't think anybody wants to do that. So what's been going on with you guys this week? What's been going on here? As many of you may know, we are in the process of remodeling our house, and Marvelena Quesada calls our house the Microsoft house because she thinks we have all these fancy schmancy things in it. We do have a lot of buttons. We have a lot of buttons. You can push a button and get a cup of coffee. You can push a button and get water in the dog's dish, and you can, maybe it is the Microsoft house, but anyway, we are nearing completion. Oh, I say that all the time, and here we are. But this week, I'm happy to report that Gary, the board guy, and I were actually able to move a huge box out of my office and into the kitchen where it belongs. So now, sitting behind me, I have a KitchenAid mixer and a Showtime rotisserie all here in the office, as well as a filing cabinet. You know, you've got to keep it mixed up, but hopefully soon those will be leaving. And I mentioned earlier that we are eager to go out to Minnesota this week to see Nikki Kobe graduate. That will be just very, very cool. Would love to take your comments if you have any on the Chris Gray interview. Last week we spent a fair amount of time talking about the rally and rehabilitation services, and some folks expressed the view that perhaps rehabilitation should radically change, for perhaps it is not as effective as it could or should be. And would love to have your feedback about that, comments about that. And also, what are you planning, you know, for your summer? What's going on? Anyone listening who is perhaps just getting out of school, be it high school, college, whatever, what's going on with you? Or are you taking a trip to somewhere other than the convention, the ACB convention, for your summer vacation plans? I think pretty much Gary and I are just going to do the convention this summer, and our business is keeping us pretty busy these days, which is a good thing, but doesn't give you enough time to play. But I think we will definitely, by the way, be in Las Vegas, and we'll be looking forward to meeting you there. I have actually decided to answer the phone, so let's do that. Let's push this button, and let's bring this caller in. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
This is Roger.
Hello, Roger. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
What's going on in California?
Well, I was listening to Chris's interview, and I thought I'd just kind of let you all keep on talking for a while, because I obviously was coming up to the end of the hour, so I figured I wouldn't talk until afterward.
Oh, well, and here you are.
A couple of things I wanted to say. One is that I almost wanted to call Mark Maurer and tell him and congratulate him for being the sponsor of this rally, because it's the first time I remember that NFB ever did anything that was cooperative and brought in the rest of the disability community.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that for whatever reason they did that, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd take my call, because, you know, I got thrown out of that organization a number of years ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's that. The other thing is talking about membership and about people working in the organization and so forth, it's troubled me that it seems like so few of us are doing so much, and it seems like we're awfully spread thin, and I'm getting up there into the senior area. I don't mind. Carl doesn't want to say he's a senior, but by golly, I do. I want to say I am. And I hope that, you know, there'll be a time when I can just go to the convention and have fun. And it seems like maybe there are too many jobs and, you know, not enough people to do them. And one of the things that came to my mind recently was, what if we were to have multi-state affiliates? It struck me that there are affiliates like Maine, I think, and some of the smaller states that are smaller than some of our local chapters here in California. And yet, each one's got to have all those officers and all those committees and all their legislative efforts and all of whatever. And obviously, California is big enough to have its own affiliate. We have 250 people at our conventions, state conventions, but
Washington.
Really small, and some of the affiliates and some of the special interest affiliates too that are just barely hanging on. And I don't know. It sometimes seems to me as though they're just too many jobs for the number of people who are willing to do these jobs that we don't get paid very well for doing. Anyway, that's a thought that I guess goes into the roadmap thing or the long range plan thing.
Well, and yeah, and but I wonder, is the answer sort of a multi-state or regional picture? Is that the answer, or is the answer to figure out how to support the membership committee as they recruit? And actually, that was going to be one of my questions
well,
for Chris
I have,
and
I.
Forgot. I
sure have no problem doing that, but
yeah.
It just seems so hard. And I read one of our people here in California sent me an article a while back about social capital. They were saying that the churches are hurting for members, the labor unions are hurting for members, even bowling leagues are hurting for members. Even though bowling is popular, bowling leagues are not popular. People just don't want to be members of anything. And
yeah,
it's a general phenomenon.
I do think society is changing. I think that's absolutely true. And I think
especially when employers want you to work 60 or 80 hours a
yeah.
week.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think we also are faced with the added, particularly among, and perhaps this is stereotyping on my part, but I think not, but particularly among the younger folks, we're facing, I think, the additional issue of, I don't want to associate with blind people. You know, what? Oh, I'm normal.
Yeah.
And then they discover that, you know what, being normal is very cool, and we're all normal, but golly, there are some things with which just communicating with other blind folks who've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt.
Yeah, I always enjoy going to the conventions every year because for 1 week I'm kind of in the majority.
Yeah.
I can go up, I can walk up to the soda machine knowing that it's marked in Braille and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can use sort of the blindness things that you need to use in order to, you know, locate somebody. You can walk into a room and say, "Hey, is Marlena in here?" Which you wouldn't maybe feel as comfortable doing in a room full of sighted people, you know. It's just little things like that.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I was going to ask Chris, and maybe you can give me your thoughts about this as a longtime ACB member, I don't know what we do. I don't know how we reach out to the younger population. They are the future of ACB. And, you know, other than through the radio and, you know, doing sort of geeky things, because most of these young folks now are pretty darn geeky with their technology, I don't know how we reach out to younger people and get them jazzed and energized about joining. Do you have any thoughts about that?
No, I certainly think that we've not done as well as we might. I think that, as I say, I think in large part it's just a generalized issue in society that people don't belong as much as they used to. And I think that's generally, I think that's especially true of younger folks who just really don't want to belong to anything. And except maybe to, there's always this whole talk about wanting to belong to the group, the age peer group and so forth. And I keep wanting to say, you know, I hear people say, well, gee, I don't want to use a cane or I don't want to use, low vision devices or whatever because I want to be normal. I want to say, look, you know, it served me well to recognize that I wasn't normal and that I was weird and that I hung out with the other weird people in the high school and so forth. But I don't know. You know, I used to hang out with the band. People say, you should recognize that song. It was popular when you were in high school. And I say, I hated popular music when I was in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
I hung out with the band and listened to jazz and classical.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I don't know the answer, and I think that we're going to have to get a critical mass of young folks that are willing to join and get them to figure it out.
Well, I can't disagree with that. And also on your, just real quickly here, on your idea of sort of a multi-state, or as I sort of envision it, a regional affiliates, you know, it's funny how history repeats itself, but way back 192 years ago when I lived in Boston and we were forming the Blind Leadership Club of Boston under the leadership of Charlie Crawford and then yours truly and then other people like Phyllis Mitchell and so on and so forth, we actually talked about working regionally, working with the small affiliate in Connecticut and the smaller one in
Connecticut,
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island has been in terrible shape.
They need to be
sort of under Massachusetts' wing like they are geographically.
Sure.
With Massachusetts overarching them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
There was recently a Four Corners meeting for people in Utah and Arizona and New Mexico and Colorado.
Yeah.
And apparently that went pretty well. But of course, if you just make the regional thing, in addition to the state affiliates, then you have even more jobs to fill.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Interesting thoughts. I thank you for sharing them.
Okay.
All right. And give my love to Miss Bernice.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. My good friend Roger Peterson. Boy, I've known Roger. You know, you guys must think I'm as old as Methuselah. Oh, I keep saying, I've known this person for 100 years. But it's true. I've known Roger. Gosh, 20 years or more? I don't know. I'm sure there's people out there who've known him longer than I, but I've certainly known him a long time. 866-666-7926 is the number. I am going to stretch in my chair here for a second, kind of hoping that my friend Jeff Bishop will call in. I don't know if Jeff's listening, but man, did he have an experience at Disneyland. In fact, well, we'll just see if he calls in. I was going to try to pull a stunt I learned from an old time Boston, Massachusetts, talk show host who has since crossed the talk show Rainbow Bridge. And, but he used to, Larry Glick was his name, and he used to call people in the middle of the night and have these weird conversations with him. Anyway, hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. This is Lisa Ho in San Antonio, Texas.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Great.
Yeah, just, working away, writing documentation and stuff, and updating my webpage.
Great.
And I'm keep watching the Marlena page, and nothing's been changed over the last several weeks.
Yeah, I
updating those pages.
I keep watching that same page, and if I had the authority to update it, by golly, I would update it. So
yeah, it seems like things not a updated in a timely manner from what I can see.
Yeah, I know that they've been working on other areas of the website, so,
yeah.
You know, but I keep reminding them.
Yeah.
I keep telling them.
I even saw some duplicate somehow or another. I don't know how the file naming structure is supposed to be on that site, but I noticed there was a couple of duplicates somehow or another with the same programming with different file names.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah. Well, and I think, well, who knows? I don't know. But hopefully it'll be done soon.
Yeah, because I love to relive that moment back in October when I talked about the Braille transcribing as a career.
And now here you are graduated and doing it.
Yeah. Doing contract work and, you know, writing all these policies and procedures and also helping out a group that we started in February 2004, the Braille Transcribers of Texas, which is a new group, and I'm on the board for that.
That's great. Doesn't it make you feel special?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah.
And I able to get my own input on things, and I'm in the process. I already started this past week pulling together a bunch of digital image files that could be used for transcribers to reproduce.
Wow,
that's
great.
So I'm in the process of pulling together all these different images from specific educational sources. Maps101.com has over 4,000 maps of all the images.
Wow.
In PDF format.
Wow, that's great.
Yes.
Well, you keep up the good work and don't give up on the website. I'm sure it's going to get updated.
Yes, yes, yes. So I would, you know, I'm constantly updating my webpage with accessibility. And I also want to say, and I just, we have the OcuSource conference this week, too.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that's the first one of its kind.
Yes, and ACB and, Radio will be involved with that,
yes,
actually.
And I would urge people to really take a look at what we're doing, you know, the blind community as a whole.
Yeah,
we're all working together, no matter which organization that we're affiliated.
That's right. And Lou Lipschultz is a really good guy.
Yes, he's an excellent guy. He did an excellent job on the CSUN when we did the virtual tour.
Right.
And that was kind of like spur of the moment when that happened.
yeah. No, that was great.
I mean, that was really cool, you know, just to hear him bring the laptop around. And
yeah.
No wheels.
yep. Have laptop, we'll broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool, so. Anyway, I will let other people come on, so.
All right, great. Well, don't give up and call me anytime.
Thank you.
All right, Miss Lisa, have a good week.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. I'm so pleased for Lisa. She really, she did a wonderful program for us back in October where she talked about her dream to be a Braille transcriber and the steps that she was taking, attending Vista College to receive, her degree to enable her to be proficient to do that. And now she has graduated and, you know, she can call me as often as she wants to, with that smile in her voice that says, I done good. I think that as blind folks, you know, we really need to celebrate each other's achievements and accomplishments. Would I want to be a Braille transcriber? Uh-uh. No, 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 not me. You know, it's, do I want to be an HTML writer? Uh-uh. No, 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 not me. But if you do, and if you have succeeded in that goal, in that dream, then I sure am delighted to be a part of that by sharing it and celebrating it. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena.
Hi there, who's this?
This is Shirley. How are you?
Oh, gosh, Shirley, how come I didn't recognize your voice?
I don't know.
I must be getting old.
Yeah, you must be.
Or going deaf. I don't know which. What's going on with you?
Well, nothing much. We finally made a decision in the last couple of days.
Are you going?
Yeah, we sent Lynn sent you an email.
Oh, you know, I'm using this new spam thing. When did you send it?
You sent that out last night. Yeah, he sent an email to you last night because we're getting a little group together. So he sent you something about that because you asked me to notify you.
Well, you know what? I will check the people I've blocked to see if I blocked Lynn. Oh dear, I would never do that.
Yourself.
I would never smack my hand. So, you know, John Glass called me the other day and told me that the Blind Radio Amateurs are doing a thing. I'm just going to promote this because I think it's just so cool.
Yeah.
Convention week Thursday at 1:30 now I may get this wrong, but a guy in the Las Vegas amateur radio community who was instrumental in helping to develop EchoLink and IRLP.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading something about that.
Yeah, so I want to go and, cover that for Main Menu or something.
Yeah, that would be neat.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at a couple possibilities, a couple evenings, like for a little dinner get-together of hands.
Yeah, last year I got dragged off to Resolutions.
I know. I know you deserted us, and we just decided you didn't like us anymore, but we got over it.
No, never, never, never. I had to go to Resolutions for the Information Access Committee. Oh, dear me.
Well, we're looking at, like, Monday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So you'll have to tell us what's best for you. Right now it looks like probably Wednesday or Thursday seems to be the consensus.
Yeah, the only thing with Wednesday, and I guess it would be before the showcase, right?
No, Tuesday's the showcase.
Oh, Tuesday. Oh, duh.
Yeah, we're not doing Tuesday.
Yeah.
The showcase. We definitely don't want to do that.
Okay. I think right now Wednesday is the better
that's
day.
That's kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah.
That's what's looking good for people. But if you don't, like I said, if you don't have my email address or whatever, or if we can figure out a way to get back in contact, if you want to send me a note or...
You know what? If you guys don't hear from me, like, by tomorrow morning,
right,
send it again.
Okay.
And I will look for it. I've just set this darn thing up. It's a great anti-spam program, by the way. It's called CURB, Q-U-R-B.
Hmm.
And And at least with Window Eyes, which is my screen reader,
right,
it's extremely accessible.
Oh, okay.
But I can't, you know, I'm one of these dummies that doesn't read from, that doesn't learn from a computer manual that Chris worked so hard to write, as he said earlier. and so every once in a while, it will just either not put the people in my block list or put everybody or I've now set it up so that it's supposed to send a message to you that says, oh my, I'm so sorry to have to do this, but press reply and
I'll... Well, the other thing is, which of course I don't expect you to totally give me the information, but you can sort of think in the back of your mind, if you've changed addresses since a year ago, you may not have anything current.
Nope, I totally haven't.
You should be okay there.
Nope, I totally haven't. And if you think you've got the wrong address, do marlena@acbradio.org.
Okay.
But nope, I still, oh no, could I lose all my spammers? Good heavens. I mean, what would I do without Courtney trying to sell me Viagra? You know what I'm saying?
You know, it'd be one way to get rid of a lot of people.
That's true, but they'd follow me, you know?
who's
the other one? Amber. Now, Amber and I, we're buds, you know?
I'm telling you, it's just so much fun to get this stuff. It frustrates me to death because, you know, we're on Earthlink, and they use these spam blockers and everything. And, I mean, they get rid of quite a bit of stuff, but, man, there's still a bunch to wade through.
Yeah, I tell you. I even thought, you know, I put up a new website for my podcasting, which is blindcast.com.
Right.
And so rather than putting an email link, I thought, okay, I'm gonna beat these guys at their own game. So my email link is an audio email link. It's a little message, and you click on it, and it's me, and I say hi, and you know, glad you're here, and get ready to write down my email, because here it is, blindcast@blindcast.com.
Right.
Do you know I'm even getting spam on that?
That's amazing.
I don't know how they do it.
And there are moments I sit there and I say to Lynn, you know, I'm just not sure if I even want to do this stuff anymore.
I know.
I'm so tired of it.
I am so tired of people trying to sell me Viagra. I don't have the part that it affects. What are they trying to do this to me for?
Well, you may know somebody that needs it. Who knows?
Oh, God. Well, I know plenty who've got the part, but I don't know whether they need it.
Well, you can pass it on just in case.
Your friendly Marlena show service. We'll pass on this information.
What a deal.
I tell you, it's good to laugh, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. So when are you guys going to get to Las Vegas?
Well, you know, we're actually going to go early. We before we knew we were going to be so busy that we were swamped and whatnot, we made a reservation and we decided to stick with it. So we're actually going out on Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Whatever that is, 29th.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of like to get there. And I don't know if you experienced some of these same things with travel, but Gary, the board guy, you know, I mean, it's just tough. It's harder when you roll around than when you walk around. And so we always sort of try to build in a day before all the stuff hits the fan and we're running crazy. So we're going to get there Wednesday and warm up the blackjack tables.
Hey, I'll
be broke by Friday.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, we really debated because I know it's such a huge hotel. And, you know, this 120-degree stuff doesn't exactly excite me either. But I've decided, you know, we really debated. And I said, well, I guess I can sort of myself in the building.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Stay there. Now, of course, you don't have that luxury because you've got to go out with your dog and everything.
Yeah. And I'm actually considering leaving her home, but I haven't made the decision yet.
I really couldn't blame you because not only is it, you know, a tough thing for people, you know, it's got to be tough for the dog, too. I don't see how people live there and go out and do anything.
I know.
I was talking to a woman yesterday, Friday, who told me she went there and they decided to like walk from one hotel to to another to just go someplace, and she said her shoes actually melted.
Oh, my gosh. That's wild.
I know.
Well,
I'm telling you.
The key is to try to stay inside, and if you
right.
do go outside,
you got to be prepared for
it. You got to be prepared for it. Take your water,
right.
and, you know, if you want to walk.
Not try to get too crazy, you know, trying to go too long of a distance.
Yeah.
Especially in the middle of the day.
Yeah, walk in the morning or at night, but, you
right.
know. And anyway, you shouldn't be going out in the middle of the day anyway. You got business to do at
That's
ACB.
Right.
So
That's right.
sit down and stay where you belong. Or we'll get Courtney and Amber after you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Now what'll I do?
I know. Well, I will mark this down for Wednesday night and of convention week. And but I will look for the email. And if you guys don't hear from me, just send me another one.
Okay. Well, we're gonna wait a couple more days to decide on the definite date. We want to give a few more people a chance
sure,
to get
sure.
back with us. But Wednesday's looking good right now, but it still could be Thursday also.
Now, let me ask you this. If anybody who's listening is planning to attend the
uh-huh.
convention and they're interested in, and they already are an amateur radio operator or are interested in the radio amateur group,
right.
Can they get a hold of you?
Yeah.
Am I putting you on the spot?
Well, I'm just trying to think of the best way to do it. How about, let me ask you this, and since you're putting me on the spot, I'll put you on the spot.
Hey, we'll share the spot together.
Okay. How would you feel about them sending you an email if they're interested, and then you could forward the information to me?
Sure, that's no problem.
Putting out my email address.
Sure, that's totally no problem.
They can send it to you at ACB Radio.
That is not a problem.
Okay.
That would be grand.
So if anybody that's going to the convention is either a ham radio operator or is interested in a ham radio and would like to hang around with some hams or whatever of that nature and have dinner, because we will be making a reservation. We're looking at the most reasonable place there is a coffee shop, it looks like at least, called Katie's Coffee Shop or something like that, is where we're thinking we're probably going to do it rather than going like to the Italian or the steakhouse, because that might be more than some people want to spend, unless, you know, people feel they want to go to one of the more expensive places, they can let us know that too, but
I don't care where we go. I just want to eat and
right.
have fun.
Well, right now, like I said, we're kind of looking at the Katie's Coffee Shop deal. So if people are interested, Marlena, you can give your email address there at ACB Radio. And
all
they
right.
can contact you. And then Marlena will forward information to Lynn and me in the next couple of days,
that's right.
And
this is a time limited offer.
Yeah. Well, so we'll try to make a decision, you know,
right.
by this coming weekend at the
Great.
Latest as to what we're going to do.
Great. All right.
So
well,
I guess Marlena at acbradio.org.
That's right. Marlina at acbradio.org. Thank
okay.
you, Miss Shirley.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye.
866-666-7926. It's about 41 minutes past the hour. If you're listening to this at any time other than a Sunday night in the U.S. or North America between 10 and 11 Eastern, 7 and 8 Pacific, or Monday morning UTC between 2 and 3. What the heck are you doing up between 2 and 3 in the morning? Anyway, if you're listening to this at any time other than those times, it's a repeat. So just put your feet up and save your dialing finger because the phone doesn't work. And I, Marlena, will be with you for another 15 minutes thereabouts, give or take, one or two. You know, it's always fascinating. On convention week. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You make these plans. Okay, so this will be, I think, the third year, or maybe the second year. I'm not sure. But I'll be willing to beat myself up and say the third year that, actually, I think it is the third year that I've tried to make plans to get together with the Blind Hams group, the ACB Radio Amateurs group. And, oh, I thought we had it nailed down last year, and then crash, bang, boom, everything changed, and there I was in the resolutions committee eating Twinkies with Jeff Tom. No, actually, we did more than eat Twinkies, but if you listen to the show last week, you'll kind of get the significance of that. But so you never know what's going to go on at an ACB convention. And if you're interested in knowing a bit about what it's like to be at an ACB convention, or if you're attending for the first time and you don't know what the heck have I gotten myself into, feel free to give me a call. Anyway, as I was saying earlier, Jeff Bishop had quite a thrilling experience this past week. And when he went to Disneyland, let's see if we can look his number up here, take the speech off the Braille note. We don't want the whole world to hear Jeff's number. And I should know it by heart, but don't tell him I'm going to call now, anybody. Liable to wake him up or something. Who knows? Okay, let's see now. How are we going to do this? Okay. If I were a real pro here, I'd have a musical segue. Oh, 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 I'm saved by the bell. Hi there. You're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
My name is Angela.
Hello, Angela.
I can barely hear you.
I can
hear you, but you're far away a bit.
Oh, I can hear you. Are you the Angela whom I've emailed recently?
Yep, not sure, but yeah, the Angela with the candy hater.
Uh-huh. Well, how are you?
I'm okay, and you?
I'm great. What's on your mind tonight?
Just thought I'd say hello to you.
Well, that's...
You always seem so cheerful, and I don't know, you put a smile to... I don't know. There's something about you that always puts a smile.
Well, thank you. You made me smile. So now we're making each other smile. So now, where are you from?
Okay. I just say that I'm from Canada. I don't really...
Oh, Canada. Speak. Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
But where in Canada?
Ontario.
Ah. I love Canada.
Do you? You've been...
Yeah, I've been there lots, and I'm going there in July.
Well,
I'm going to Toronto.
What? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What? I'm gonna do a little work with VisuAid. You know VisuAid?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. So what do you do up there in Canada?
Actually, not too much, unfortunately. I'm one of the blind people who, well, you know, we've been talking about access, you know, lately and everything else like that, yeah, I don't do very much because I don't have the skills for a job or anything like that.
Well,
so
now
I don't really like to talk about that much.
do they have programs up there that you can participate in?
More or less, I guess.
Yeah, good.
More or less, but like I said, I don't really.
Yeah.
I don't like to get too personal, but
yeah.
The one thing that's been on my mind recently, and I think everybody should know this, the free email services are going more character verification.
Oh, yes, that is an issue, isn't it?
Like a big one, because not everybody uses Outlook or Outlook Express, like myself. And I had a scare of just a couple of days ago. Yesterday, Hotmail... for some reason had a weird quirk, and it went to character verification for one email.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
so do you mean they're going to character verification for every email that comes in?
Okay, here, let me talk about this one, okay? Yahoo. I have a Yahoo account. I think you... I'm not sure. I don't remember if you wrote to my Yahoo or my Hotmail one. But anyway, the Yahoo... for every single email that you send on the web page, they have a character verification. I can read your emails if you send them to me, but I cannot send them out.
Wow.
Yes. And it's just pretty bad. Like, I'm just concerned about that, and I think that people should know about that.
Have you written to Yahoo about it?
What I did do is I actually wrote to like a great website, eyes2eyes.com, and I wrote to her about Julia, and she has an article up there about it.
So what is eyes2eyes.com?
Eyes2eyes.com is, well, it has a little information here and there for interested or blind and all that. It's an interesting little thing.
So is it EYES number 2 EYES?
Yeah, you got it right on.
Say I got it.
I sent an email with TO instead of 2 one time.
Oh.
I have a problem with that. Yeah.
Well, you know, when you've lived as long as I have, you develop a little feeling for things, you know.
And also, congratulations to your friend on graduating.
Oh, Mickey. Isn't that exciting? Yes.
Yeah, that is. Remember, I kept teasing you about her and who was the other one I teased you about?
Was it Colby?
No. Was it Jeff? One of the guys. I was teasing you that you should put their lives on there like they want to put yours.
Oh, that's right. It was Jeff Bishop. It was Jeff Bishop. That's right. That's right. Yes.
And I wanted you to teach them a lesson. And then you told me that they were close friends of yours. So I'm like, okay, hands off.
Oh, no, that was very funny. I laughed out loud when I got that email.
You like that one, eh?
I
well,
did.
Feel free to write to me. I'm not going to share my email. I'm not sure if you have it anymore, but if you want to write to me, you can.
Well, and you can always write to me and I'll respond.
There
are very few emails to which I don't respond. Sometimes my response...
Except for two things.
Yeah.
Courtney and Amber.
And Courtney and Amber, that's right.
Oh, my God, I get those, too. I used to go to an email, and I know why they write to me, too. Because they were...
Why do they write to you?
Because sometimes, you know, when you subscribe to these email lists...
Yeah.
You know, they get the names and they just, you know, find you on there.
Yeah.
I used to belong to a few email lists. There was one that I know I got the spam from. And, as a result, I get the Courtney and Amber.
Yeah, they're busy girls, those Courtney and Amber gals. They're...
And a few people. Anyway, have fun and thanks for talking with me.
Well, and thank you. And you call me anytime. And I love your country.
You love my what?
Your country.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I do.
And you want to laugh?
Yeah?
Here, have a laugh. Candy Hager. The reason why I have that name is because I don't like sweets. Yep.
Well,
everything I can remember.
That's okay. I eat your share, so don't you lose any sleep over it, okay? I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you too.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Jeff Bishop's been saved by the bell for my not phoning him. That's logistically, it's kind of hard for me to do when I'm on the air anyway. But those of you who know him, you might write him and tell him that he was saved by the bell. Saved by the phone call. Yeah, I love Canada. I am actually Canadian French. I know my name, Marlena Lieberg, would not indicate that, but it's true, I am. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
This is Wayne from West Covina.
Hey, Wayne, how the heck are you?
Oh, not too bad. I've been listening to your show tonight, and I'm listening to the interview with Chris, and also about convention. I'll be going there.
Woohoo!
I'll be getting arriving there on Friday. Ben, I'll be staying a whole week, and I'm looking forward to it.
So I finally get to meet you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
My ACB Radio Interactive buddy. Tell everybody about your show.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. If you like the oldies out of the 50s and 60s, songs that you just don't hear, and I mean that sincerely, the Wayne Michaels Oldies Show is on Wednesday nights from 10 to midnight on the Pacific Coast, 1 to 3 on the East Coast, and 5 to 7 UTC. Also on Saturdays between 20 and 22 UTC, which equals out to...
Do that math now.
On the East Coast and 1 to 3 on the West Coast.
You do that math better than I do, my friend. I always have to count on my fingers. And then I just get used to it and we change the clocks and then I'm like, oh no, am I 7 or 8? Oh no.
That's true. I know how that feels. And when you have to tell someone about it, oh, you're on earlier, huh? Okay.
Yeah, it does get confusing. So, have you ever been to Las Vegas before?
Oh, yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I'll be going there this weekend, Los Angeles edition of the American Blind Bowlers Association.
I have
been going to Las Vegas for the past few years for a little bowling tournament. We stay at a place across the street from the Riviera called the Westward Hole, and we go bowling with the staff on Saturday morning. As a matter of fact, I'll be staying at the Westward Hole during the convention because instead of $77, it's a $49 thing.
Wow. Well, you can't beat that with a stick.
No. A lot of folks are going to be staying over there, too.
That's pretty cool. So you're a blind bowler?
Yes, I am.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that sometime. I lovingly say I once joined a bowling league, and if Roger and Bernice are listening, Bernice may remember this actually, but I once joined a bowling league, blind bowling league in Northern Virginia to be a substitute bowler for the summer. And, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it just wasn't to be. But I did learn to drink beer there, so that thing
well,
was some...
Yeah. Right. Bowling's a lot of fun. And, you know, you either are fairly good or inconsistent. I'm in the inconsistent department.
No. You're either fairly good, inconsistent, or flat rotten. And I was flat rotten, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes for folks who are totally blind to get the right rhythm. Some do, some don't.
Yeah, well, I was in the don't category, but I did learn to drink beer, and so that has kept me in good stead for all these years.
Well, I just thought I'd give you a call, and
all right.
I'll be meeting you guys sometime on Friday or Saturday, and then of course. There's going to be a lot of folks from Southern California going there. I guarantee you that right now.
Well, I'm going to be looking forward to meeting you, and it's going to be great. ACB Radio is going to have a big contingent there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's going to be fabulous.
I think all the Californians are going to be there.
Yeah, well, they better.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's only next door for Pete's sake.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you could start walking now and make it.
Well, that's true. Well, of course, the folks in Northern California would have to really start walking now.
Yeah, well, you know, but you know how those Northern California people are.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Okay, Marlene, it's been a pleasure.
All right, Wayne, take care.
Right.
Have
Bye-bye.
A good one. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We've just got a couple of minutes left now that I've offended all my friends in Northern California. What the heck? You could be next if you call in before the end of the program. Convention week. Oh, man. I can't even begin to tell you how exciting ACB conventions are. I mean, it is. There is just a plethora. Do you like that word? Plethora. Yes, I learned that word this week. No, not true. But there's a plethora of stuff to do. You know, you can be as busy or as non-busy as you choose. And, gosh, you just never run out of stuff, you know. We heard last week Jeff Tom talking about the Resolutions Committee and how that goes well into the night, starting, I think he said, Saturday night. And that would be Saturday, July 2nd, and going on up through the Thursday of the following week. And sometimes those meetings go to 1 in the morning. Oh, my goodness. But, and that's just one committee. ACB has many committees. And all the meetings are open. All the, you know, there's no behind closed doors. There's no one who thinks that they know best and They will make sure that the organization does the right thing. It's just not that way. And it's a great environment. It's a lot of fun. And you never know who you're going to see there. That's for sure. You know, I'm going to close up here in a minute, but want to tell you that I also do some podcasting on the internet. Some of you may know that. And if you go to blindcast.com, you'll find out a bit about that. But we were doing a podcast this weekend, which I will be editing soon. And one of the people whom we met and chatted with was John Nance, speaking of seeing people you don't expect to see, that John Nance, the noted author, aviation author and ABC correspondent, whenever anything tragic happens in the skies, John Nance is there for ABC. So that was kind of fun to meet him. We're going to get ready to get out of here. We're going to ask Gary, the board guy, to go ahead and close the lines. And it has been a joy to be with you. And I want to thank Chris Gray again for joining us and making himself available. And I want to thank you for being a part of this program, because without you, this program would simply not exist. So I'll see you next week. Have a great week. Stay safe and take care. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, @acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you next week.